Previously on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
But I did buy a few Blu-rays that I even included in a few that I already had on a regular DVD, and I know that it makes regular DVDs look even better, but I thought, well, how many more times can I buy, fill in the blank? I need big business in every available format.
Is that in Blu-ray now?
Blu-ray, Kendall, $5, run, do not walk to Target.
Obesity, sass, fiber bars, disco stick, you know the drill. It's time for Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
To pay and the rent is due, but you spent your money all up on food. Your car blew up into a fireball. It would be nice to escape it all, to go someplace where the laughs are free and there are bad jokes and bad hosts and bits of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We're the show that'll never say die. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall are your hosts. Come along for the ride, where we can laugh about everything and make it through anything. Belch in your face and hear that ding-a-ring, and occasionally we sing. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. You, the listener, are here. We're ready to start the show.
This week we're talking about saying goodbye to celebrities.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Jerry.
Here we are again, Cliff. Here we are again. Another week.
Here we are again.
Fabulous show. Oh, we're doing this show. Sorry, I was confused.
Oh, I assumed you're talking about Cougar Town, but no, you're talking about our show.
Our show. Never mind. Another adequate show.
Another show.
Another show. There you go.
Kendall, who are we to judge? Who are we to judge? How good a show is or is not? That's for the listeners to decide. But let me remind you, listeners.
Don't email us.
Judge not, lest ye be judged.
Cliff, this week we're talking about celebrity passings.
Celebrity passings, not passing gallstones, not passing gas, but passing on into heaven.
Fallen stars, Cliff, fallen stars.
What is it? What does it do? I know, it was shocking. It was shocking. This was obviously you probably thought, well, this was obviously brought upon by the late Whitney Houston, and of course it was.
Yes, of course.
It was shocking.
Which what did you think about that, Cliff?
I thought it was shocking, as I previously stated. I was at a family dinner, and I'm very rude, and so when I received a text at the dinner table, I immediately opened my phone and read it, and then I went.
You obviously learned nothing from our episode about etiquette.
I don't know if there's ever been a tip. We'll have to get Mrs. Potter Butter Churn in here to give us. Yes. What is the etiquette when you receive an emergency text at the dinner table? We don't know. But I got a text from our First Lady, actually, First Lady Rand, about Whitney. And I didn't know at first what she was talking about, but then I texted back to her, and she said Whitney had died at age 48. And I was it's very surprising. To me, it was similar to when Michael Jackson died a couple years ago.
Well, first of all, I got the news from you, because you texted me to say, can you believe this about Whitney? We have to do a show about it. And I was like, what has she done now? You know, you didn't say she had died. You said, can you believe this about her? Assuming that I already knew. And I was in the movie. So again, another etiquette foul. But
we're the worst people. In case people didn't have proof, we are the worst.
Mr. Smodbaum just held up a sign and said, "Mrs. Potterbud returns on her way down here with her book."
She may need to come in for an emergency etiquette.
She might. So anyway, I was like, "Well, what happened to her? What'd she do this time?" And we got out. I looked it up, and I was like, "Oh my God, Whitney Houston died." So it was like with Michael Jackson, but as I told you before, Michael Jackson was a huge shock to me. Whitney Houston, it was a shock that it happened, but I was like, oh, yeah, I could see that that would happen. Because she had, you know, had the drug problem and all that stuff. So it wasn't as big as a shock, but it still was a shock.
Addiction is really a terrible thing. People who are addicts of anything, our show, heroin, Twinkies, they are marginalized.
All the same, Twinkies society. Are showing.
Yeah. But you know, they're cast out as though, oh, well, you brought this upon yourself. Yeah. This is all your fault. And in a way, yes. In the same way that if you have ever been sad that someone who you love died of a heart attack and they're real fat, they brought that on themselves.
An addiction, yep.
Yeah, in that exact same way. And it's people who don't struggle with that, I think they don't realize that. And I read a tweet by Roger Ebert after Whitney died. And it said, for people who are struggling with addictions, other people don't realize that it, so long ago, it stopped being fun for them. And it just became the only thing that they could do to get through the day.
Yeah, they're normal.
Yeah, that's what became normal for them. And and it's just, it's a really difficult thing for society. Have you heard what Tony Bennett said about it, y'all?
No.
It was the night that Whitney died, you know, it was the, like, pre-Grammy whatever. And Tony Bennett was there performing, and he called for legalization of all drugs. And he said, legalize drugs, because then people, you know, then they're not, like, further, like, forced into a back alley somewhere to do these deals. And they get what they need from the doctor. And they're not, like, pushed to the sort of fringes of society and cast out the way that we do. This is your problem because you're doing these awful things, you know.
Well, I put my seal of approval on that.
My seal of approval. What do you think? What celebrity death has affected you the most in your life?
Well, I'm going to call this celebrity death, even though you might not, or some of our listeners might not agree with me. Steve Jobs.
Yeah, he was very well known.
He was a celebrity. That was one that not only shocked me, but, like, hurt, made me really sad.
Yeah.
Which Michael Jackson did, too. I mean, you know, growing up with Michael Jackson, and I didn't realize how much it hurt me until they had the thing they had on TV with all the music, and I just, like, sit there and cried. I was like, oh, this is so sad.
Yeah.
You know, and they played Man in the Mirror without him on stage, and it made me sad. But also, someone that, and this is not... this wasn't a huge impact on me, but I didn't know until the writers were researching for the show.
Yeah.
Andy Rooney died. I didn't know that.
Just recently, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That wasn't a big, huge story. They said he had done a 60 Minutes just before that. I'm not surprised. He was really old.
Yeah.
But shocking to me.
It was shocking.
So many shocks the past couple weeks.
Too many shocks. Shock therapy. That's what I need. But I would say, for me, probably the two that maybe affected me the most, I was very into, in two different ways. Johnny Cash, when he died, I loved Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah.
But he was older. He wasn't, like, super old, but he was in his 70s. Right. And, you know, so, and that it wasn't completely unexpected, but still surprising and sad because I loved him and I loved his music and all those most recent albums. But then, like you say, Michael Jackson, and to me, not that I was, like, the biggest Michael fan, but to me, it signified he was such a part of the 80s, the decade that...
Yeah, he was part of us.
That I revere and think about and live in still, you know, and such a part of our childhood that it was like, oh, wow, you know?
Well, I think it's harder... This show is so deep.
It is.
I feel like it's harder for us as adults now, as we get older, not just because these celebrities were big to us or that we were a huge fan, but every time that one dies, it feels like all these things that were part of our childhood, they're going away, and it's further emphasizing that we are adults now and that we're not children anymore and we can't just play on the playground and have fun.
Oh, exactly. Which, let me tell you one more sad thing, then I promise we're going to pick this shit up.
We're gonna tell some jokes.
Which I already told you, but I'll tell our one listener and Mr. Snodbottom in the booth over there. A few weeks ago, I was watching the Golden Girls, and they were talking, they were reaffirming their love for one another the way you and I, Kendall, do on this show all the time. And they're, we're going to make it through anything, they were saying to one another. And
make it through anything.
You know, they were going to, if one of them got sick, the other three were like, well, we're going to, you're going to never have to worry because we're going to take care of you. And Rose, Betty White, said, but what happens when there's only one of us left? And, oh, my God, it made me so sad because it made me just think about, oh, well, you know, there is only one left. And who do I love more than the Golden Girls? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
So it makes you think. Just like our show, if the Peabody Committee only knew, Kendall, and that.
Oh, this one is getting submitted, and that's no joke.
It's not a joke.
Stop some bird jokes. Let's pick this shit up.
Take it. Oh, Kendall.
Yes. Tell me a joke.
Kendall, I don't wanna go from preaching to meddling, but a husband and a wife are shopping at where else? Their local Walmart. They must be Americans. Oh. And the husband picks up a case of Budweiser and he puts it in his cart. Oh, what do you think you're doing? Asks the wife. They're on sale, only $10 for 24 cans, he replies. Well, put them back, we can't afford them, demands the bitch wife. And so they carry on shopping. And a few aisles further on along, the woman picks up a $20 jar of face cream and she puts it in her basket. What are you doing? Asks the husband. It's my face cream. It makes me look sexy. I know where this is going. And beautiful when you are making love to me, replies the wife. And her husband reports, so does 24 cans of Budweiser at half the price.
I knew where that was going.
What an asshole. What an asshole. And true wife and an asshole husband.
Oh, he was, yes.
Cliff. Divorce. They're going to get divorced anyway. Fuck, who cares?
Cliff, a middle-aged woman. This is an oldie but a goodie, by the way.
Woman.
She has a heart attack. At last time I called you a woman, you stormed out of the booth. she has a heart attack and is taken to the hospital. Now, while on the operating table, she has a near-death experience. And during that experience, she sees God. And she says, God, is this it? And God says, no. And he says she has another 30 years left. On recovery of her accident, she decides to stay in the hospital and have a facelift, liposuction, breast augmentation, tummy tuck, everything, Cliff. She got the works. So... they even come and change her hair color. She figures since she's got another 30 years, she might as well make the most of it. Well, Cliff, she walks out of the hospital after that last operation, and wham, she is killed by an ambulance. Goes to heaven.
Oh, no.
She runs in front of God.
Praise God.
And, and she's, I thought you said I had another 30 years. And God says, sorry, I didn't recognize you.
Ooh. Was she a real housewife?
She was. Of Busheltown. Real housewives of Busheltown.
Kendall, I don't want to be accused of not being positive, but I want to just put it out there now that if I should die on an operating table, which I won't because I will never have health insurance because Mr. Schnodbottom will not write it into our contract, but that's neither here nor there. Should I ever die on an operating table, I give the Lord full responsibility. He can have me. He doesn't have to send me back. All he needs to do is come and give you a hug because you're going to miss me. But Kendall, speaking of two doctors, there were two other doctors laying in bed after the act of love. And the guy says, well, you must be an OBGYN because you know how to work that pussy. The woman says, you must be an anesthesiologist because I didn't feel a thing.
Cliff, speaking of doctors. There are three nurses that go to heaven, Cliff. They all died at the same time. It's been a terrible hospital
accident.
And they're awaiting their turn to talk to St. Peter to plead their case to enter those pearly gates that you know I love to talk so much about. So Cliff, the first nurse, she said, I worked in an emergency room. We tried our best to help patients, but occasionally we did lose one. I think I deserve to go to heaven. St. Peter looks at her, admits her into heaven. Second nurse said, I worked in an operating room. It's a very high-stress environment. We do our best. Sometimes the patients are too sick, we lose them. But overall, we try very hard. St. Peter lets her into heaven. The third nurse, she said, I was a case manager for an HMO. And St. Peter looks at his file. He pulls up on a calculator and starts punching away at it furiously, constantly back and forth to the nurse's file. And after a few minutes, St. Peter looks up and says, "Congratulations, you've been admitted to heaven for 5 days."
Oh, shit.
HMO.
HMO. F-U. Oh, Kendall, speaking of
health
doctors.
Insurance.
Yeah, and health insurance. An elderly man, no, not us, a different elderly man, goes into his doctor's office for his annual physical. And after a while, the doctor comes out and says, "I'm sorry, Bill." Excuse me. You know, he really says, "I'm sorry, Bill." But we have discovered...
I wonder where the doctor was.
That was the nurse. Sorry, yeah. Bill. "I'm sorry, Bill. But we have discovered you have a condition which only allows you another 6 weeks to live."
Oh, no.
"But doctor, Bill replies, "I feel great. I haven't felt better in years. This just can't be true. Isn't there anything I can do?" And after a moment, the doctor says, "Well, you might start going down the street to that new health spa and take a mud bath every day." Excitedly, Bill asked, "And will that cure me?" "No," replied the doctor, "but it will get you used to all the dirt."
Oh, bitch doctor.
6 feet under, Kendall. Sometimes that's where you gotta go.
Oh, Cliff, speaking of old men. Aging Mildred was 93 years old when her very near-death husband finally kicked the bucket. His name was Earl. No. She decided that she would just kill herself and join him in death, Cliff, because she couldn't stand life without him. Much like if one of us died, the other would be soon to follow.
So Cliff, I'm going to wait for you, Kendall, on the far side banks of Jordan.
Okay, you better come back through the Valley of Death to help me through it. Cliff, thinking that it would be best to get it over with quickly, she took out Earl's old army pistol and made the decision to shoot herself in the heart, since it was so badly broken already in the first place. Now, not wanting to miss a vital organ and become a vegetable and a burden on someone, she called the doctor's office to inquire just exactly where a heart would be on a woman of her age. On a woman, the doctor said, the heart would be just below the left breast. Later that night, Mildred was admitted to the hospital with a gunshot wound to her knee.
Oh, no. Kendall, my wife.
I was always wondering, like, when people turn off the show. That's probably... Yeah. That was
right
the moment.
Right then. around a minute, what is it, 18 or 19? I don't know.
Yeah, your wife.
Kendall, my wife. You didn't even know I was married. I've never said it on the show.
I didn't.
But this is anecdote of my life. My wife, she finally got me to believe in religion.
How'd she do that, Cliff?
Oh, well, you know, until I married her, I didn't believe in hell.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, dear.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I gotta take a break before your wife shows up and shoots you in the heart.
Just a joke. My heart's in my knee. Right.
We'll be right back, listeners.
This is the First Lady of Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast, urging you to stay tuned.
The kitchens of today can be more beautiful in 1949, because this year there's a better, brighter, self-polishing floor wax. It's 1949 Glow Coat. Yes, bright as it's always been, this year Glow Coat is brighter than ever, better than any. Try 1949 Glow Coat on your linoleum this week.
What a great break. But I'm glad we're back. Back for more, just like Cliff and Kendall.
We're back. Kendall, I'll be waiting for you on the far side banks of Jordan, drawing pictures in the sand when you die, okay?
Far side of the moon.
I will. Nobody else. If Susan, if your mom tries to push me out of the way, I will elbow them in the face. I will be the first person you see in heaven, okay?
And then when we get up to the pearly gates, they're not going to let you in. They're like, you push somebody in the face right after you die.
I mean, Kendall, you know, we're all just... You, me, Whitney, Michael, everybody. We're all just snowflakes melting back into that great stream.
Jeff Conway. Elizabeth.
Taylor.
Elizabeth Taylor, thank you. I'm going
to
say Elizabeth.
Do I need to refer you back to our Elizabeth Taylor Awareness Week episode?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back.
Where we told the youth who she was and what she stood for. And I was in thinking of celebrity deaths. Of course, they say it comes in threes, so
yeah,
somebody should just watch out. Because who died right before Whitney? Was it Etta James? Is that who it was?
Oh, yes, yes.
Etta James, who my mom loved a lot. And I was thinking just how, you know, how the different feelings between Andy Rooney. He's very old, but, you know, you enjoyed him still. It was sad. Johnny Cash, old. Yeah. The Golden Girls, they were all older, had health problems and stuff. And then you think of, like, the young celebrities, like the Amy Winehouse and Brittany Murphy, who I've been rewatching King of the Hill a lot lately. And she was just, her voice performance was just brilliant. And it's just so sad. Yeah. So sad to think that they're gone so early for...
Gone too soon.
And no matter, that's one thing never be said about our show. We do. We missed that boat a couple hundred shows ago, Kendall.
Oh, thank God.
But now, when you think of, I don't want to depress you a lot, but too when you think late. Of celebrities who are still blessedly with us, because I get nervous for some of mine. We're getting older, and my favorite celebrities are getting older, too. And I know I will have to be taking some days and weeks off of work when some of them go to heaven and wait for me.
Like who?
Well, I mean, thinking of Michael Jackson, who do you think of as the his alter ego, the other icon of the 80s, Madonna, the queen of the universe.
Yeah.
Luckily, she's never had a drug problem. She never went sort of off the deep end like Michael did. But, you know, I mean, we all got to go sometime, and I know a few years ago, I don't know where I was, but I was outside of a store, and there was the newspapers for sale, and she was on the cover, and briefly I thought, sweet Jesus, Madonna did not die, did she? But it was when she had, like, fallen off of a horse, remember?
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that, but she fell off a horse, she's fine. But
newsflash, Madonna's fine.
She's okay! She's, as of this recording, she is okay! That would probably be that she and like Dolly.
Oh, Dolly, yeah. Dolly's one that, just, yeah. I mean, because she looks so young because she's had so much plastic surgery that you don't really think about that she's getting on up there, you know.
Well, I mean, she is, and I mean, I've always had, since I was a teenager, I've had the musical taste of a middle-aged gay man, and so I, like, you know, my icons, Dolly, Cher, Bette Midler, Barbara.
Bette Midler, another one, yeah.
Barbara, in April. Mr. Snowbottom, I'm going to float this now. We may need to do a Barbara Streisand tribute because she's going to be turning 70 in April.
Oh, really?
Are you talking to me?
Are you talking to me, Cliff?
Are you talking to me?
That is why we are America's Next Top Podcaster. Did you see that effortless transition?
Effortless. It just came. It just flowed like the River Jordan. Kendall, are you talking to me?
I am, Cliff. I'm about to talk to you right now. Cliff, here is a quote. Let's see if you know it.
Let's see.
But I can't go out on a date because you have to be with me every minute. I mean, what if he wants to invite me up to this place afterwards? Are you going to come too?
Is that Hitch? I don't know.
No, stupid. It is, Whitney Houston from The Bodyguard.
Oh, from The Bodyguard.
See how I did that?
Shoot, stay. Kendall, she did. She had a gift.
Stop, like, the recording. Yeah.
Like, we have the gift of gab and of obesity. She had the gift. She and I, perfect pitch.
Yes, she had a slightly different perfect pitch talent than you did, but nevertheless.
Different, but pure as the driven snow, both of us. Kendall, I would rather have 30 minutes of wonderful than a lifetime of nothing special.
I know that quote, but I don't know what it's from.
Can I give you a hint?
Yeah,
and this
yeah.
will also give our listeners a fun anecdote of our lives, okay?
Okay.
I once directed your wife to say that line in a scene back when we were in film school.
Still Magnolia.
Alan was playing her mother at the time. That was Shelby from Steel Magnolias.
Well, that was the perfect part for Alan.
as Sally Field in Steel Magnolias, the role he was born to play.
And he played it. Thank God he was born. Cliff, success, fame, and fortune, they're all illusions. All there is that is real is the friendship that two can share.
Oh, I don't know, but they were talking about us.
You know they were. You know who said it? Michael Jackson in The Wiz.
Oh, in The Wiz. Ease on down the road.
Come on now. All right.
Kendall, this the same could be said for the Cliff and Kendall movie once in the future.
Uh-huh.
I've seen Detergents leave a better film than this.
I'll go out on a limb and say Ed Wood. I have no idea.
That was either Statler or Waldorf in the Muppet movie.
The new one? Or the old one?
No, the Muppet movie.
Oh, the Muppet movie. All right. Thank you for keeping still, for backing me up in my lie. They're hard ones this week. They're hard ones, Cliff.
Hard ones. This is for the hardcore cinephile. Yep. This week.
Yep. That was Elizabeth Taylor in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. You could have named any of the dead celebrities for my three, and you would have gotten one of them at least, hopefully.
Any of the dead celebrities. Kendall, it's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great.
Oh, I know that one too. But I couldn't tell you from any dog. You want to
give you a hint. Another famous quote from this movie is, "There's no crying in baseball."
Oh, well, that was too easy of a hint. A League of Their Own.
That was Tom Hanks, in A League of Their Own.
All right, well, I'm done talking to you.
All right, I have one more for you. Kendall, you can be as mad as a mad dog at the way things went. You can swear and curse the fates, but when it comes to the end, you have to let go.
Now that one I don't know.
I'm 7, but I look a lot older.
Oh, Benjamin Button!
Yeah! That was your clue.
Look, I got all of them. I should have said, here's a hint, Cliff. Ease on down the road. Or here's your hint. I will always love you.
Here's a hint. Madonna, baseball.
Well, I am seriously done talking to you now. You now.
I'm done talking to you, Ken. I'm done.
I have no more to say. Although, I do want to do something else. I want to help some people, Cliff, because you know it's our favorite part of the job. So let's help some people.
It's my favorite part of the job. Kendall, if you're feeling low out there, everybody, the best thing you can do to pick your spirits back up is to help somebody else in any way that you can.
The more you know. You've got questions. We've got answers. Ask dear Cliff and Kendall.
Kendall, I don't know when it became Oprah and Oprah, coast to coast, but it did, and the listeners are just dealing with it.
It just happens, Cliff. It just happens.
They're just dealing with
That's one of my favorite quotes I've ever said on this show. Kendall, I don't know when I became Oprah. When you become Oprah, it just happens, Cliff.
It just happens.
All right, Cliff, I've got a letter here somewhere. All right. You have yours handy. I misplaced mine.
I've got mine. Let me see here. Excuse me. All right. Dear Cliff and Kendall,
they couldn't have written that on Twitter because not enough characters.
No, not enough characters for that. This was an email that I printed, put in an envelope, sealed, and opened. It says, first, let me say how much I love your show. Really, I love it. Now to my problem that only you guys can solve. I've been living out of the country in Brazil for the past couple of years, and soon the lease on my apartment is up. I have been working a specific job, and now that job is ending. I met a girl, and we've become semi-serious, and I've been going back and forth for months about whether I should stay in Brazil with my girlfriend and live here, where the cost of living is much cheaper, or if I should move back to my home city of Chicago. If I went back to Chicago, I'd be closer to my parents and family, but honestly, I have no idea what I'd do there as far as a job is concerned. I have a college degree in philosophy. I do not want to go directly to grad school, and even if I did, I have no idea what to study. Sometimes, I am contented to stay here and live a quote-unquote simpler life. And then at other times, I get very stressed out and want to pack it in and go back to Chicago and drink malted liquor with my old friends. Cliff and Kendall, I have no idea what to do. Please help. Cliff and Kendall, you are my only hope. And that is signed Befuddled in Brazil. Kendall, help. Will you just help this person?
Help me, Cliff and Kendall. You're my only hope. Well, I think that was an old letter from Alan, and the names and dates and degrees were changed to protect the innocent. But you know, that is a tough question because
it's tough.
That is a question that this person is going to have to find within themselves of what they really want to do. We can't answer what they want to do with their life. You know,
right?
I can tell you to break up with your girlfriend for being rude, but I can't tell you where to go in life because it's ultimately something they need to pray on and sit under the hawaki tree in Brazil and pray on it. I want to help, but I have no other thing to say. What do you think?
You know, I think it's hard. I think it is something that only Befuddled in Brazil can answer for themselves.
Make a pros and con list.
Pros and cons. You know, whatever you've got to do, and just know. And this is good. Good news for any of us. Whatever we do, things will really be okay.
Yep.
If Befuddled decides to stay in Brazil, all he has to do is stay in Brazil until that just does not seem like the right thing to do anymore.
Yeah. World,
and maybe it will never seem like that.
The world will keep turning. His friends will still be in Chicago.
Yeah. Or he can go back to Chicago and
Brazil will always be there.
Yeah. We'll be okay too.
I know several people that have moved back and forth across the country to do things.
Across the world. You know who... It's a small world after all, someone famously once said.
I know who.
Oh. I once famously said that.
You did. Many times.
And it's something you're just going to have to meditate. And ultimately, you just have to say, well, what do I feel like doing right now? Because you can always decide to move somewhere else later.
Yep. You can always change your mind. So that's our advice for you. Befuddled in Brazil. What was that?
Yeah.
Befuddled himself. All right. Here's my letter. All right. Dear Cliff and Kendall, I've been dating Kyle for more than 6 months, but I have loved him for more than 2 years. I always thought we had a wonderful relationship and that Kyle was a sweet, innocent guy. Well, he just confided to me that he has internet porn addiction. I'm very hurt by this and don't want to lose him. What should I do? By the way, we're both 14. Innocent teen in Michigan. Ooh, what do you think, Cliff? What do you think?
Whoa, first of all...
We've been talking about addictions all night.
First of all, where are Kyle's parents in this?
Yep.
They're having a lie-in, as they say. They're oversleeping, not doing their job, controlling the computer. A 14-year-old needs not have access to the smut that's on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best thing, you know, I don't know. It's hard, and porn is hard, and for 14-year-olds, if it was an adult woman saying, well, my boyfriend just looks at porn sometimes, I would say, well, what is your boyfriend, a man? But it being a 14-year-old, I would say, do your best. Don't get on the computer unless other people are there to watch that you're doing good things. Yeah. If you really feel that that's a problem for you, then, you know, only get on the computer in the presence of other people, because then you won't want to look at porn.
Yep.
And, you know, you just got to try to do your best. Talk to your girlfriend. Let her help you and support you in your trying to get away from that. And I don't know, Kendall, what do you think? This is a life. Life questions that are difficult to answer this week. This is the most real life show we have ever done. Don't you think so, Mr. Snodbottom? Yeah.
He's asleep.
You think so too?
Here's
who are we kidding?
Here's what I think. If she's using the word addiction, as we know from food addictions and everything else, an addiction is by definition a behavior that is compulsive and out of control.
Yeah.
So if he does have this addiction, and if this were adults, I would say get help for your addiction. But as a 14-year-old, as you said, I think the parents need to step in. But also, I think that he is developing his idea of what a woman should be at that age.
Yeah.
And looking at porn is going to give him unrealistic expectations of what he's going to want her to look like and do.
Her to look like and what sex should be. And
so, I think if this girl really cares, I mean, they're 14, but I think if she really cares about him, she should, you know, bring it up, talk to him, and get him help if he really thinks he has an addiction.
Yeah. Talk to someone. Talk to your guidance counselor.
There you go.
Yeah. They will help you.
Man, we are helping people left and right.
Helping people, Kendall. It's my favorite part of the job. It's the only thing that makes me feel better when blessed celebrities go to heaven.
Oh, and Cliff, that is such a sad... Wait a minute.
Did Mr. Here. Snotbutt...
She is here, Cliff. Mrs. Snotbutt Turn is here.
Come on, dear.
I'm so sorry. It's not my etiquette to just interrupt your show like this, dear. But
You are welcome. You're welcome, Mrs. Pot. Anytime you want to just burst in, you are welcome to burst in.
Oh, well, thank you, dear. I was having a brunch with the future millionaires of Busheltown when I got a text from Mr. Snotbottom. Now, I did not open it during this brunch. That's why I'm so tardy in this meeting. But I opened it when I left the brunch, and I realized that there has been some lack of etiquette on this show today, and I thought I would come and talk to our listeners about it. So, I hear that both you and Kendall did a breach of etiquette in the movies and at dinner with your parents.
We did. Wait, what do you think, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn? In the future, will people just be... on the phone all the time?
Oh dear, I hope not. I hope not. Coffee house in America sitting looking at their phone. People don't interact with each other anymore. But I think, dear, if you are waiting on something very important or urgent, it is completely proper etiquette. Oh, let's start the music, Mr. Snotbottom, please. Thank you. I think it's completely proper etiquette if you are waiting on an urgent phone call from someone that you could say, oh, please excuse me, I'm waiting on a very important call, and you can step away from the situation. However, if you just get a text, you don't know it's urgent, dear, so why open it? Wait until the end of the dinner. The news will be there when you're finished, and if something amazingly terrible happened, like the end of the world, you'd know it already anyway.
It's true. Now, can I tell you, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn, I'll tell you because we're amongst friends, you, me, and Kendall, and Mr. Snotbottom in the booth in there.
Although he's asleep again.
He's asleep, but he didn't wake up when his wife comes in. What's up with that? But I was at dinner. I admit that I had been feeling a little bit maudlin, a little bit melancholy that evening. And I just thought, well, I don't even feel like talking to people. And so I thought, well, I'll just sort of sit here and hang out during dinner. And so I really wasn't participating in the conversation because of my own inner workings in my mind. And then I got that text and I thought, well, I'm not talking to anybody. I'll look and see what this is. And what that text actually did, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn, and I know it was a breach of etiquette to do so, I admit it, I gasped audibly when our first lady, who you love, texted me back.
Oh, what a wonderful dear she is.
Yeah, that Whitney had passed on. And it actually, people, of course, were like, what? What's wrong? And it brought me back into the conversation of, oh my God, can you believe Whitney Houston has died? And so it actually brought me closer to people in that instance. Isn't that something?
Well, dear, a breach of etiquette could also always start a conversation. So could someone shooting someone else in the face, dear. But it doesn't give you right to break etiquette. It doesn't give you the right.
I admit, it was rude of me. And I am but glad I had to come you were talk here to call us both. On the carpet.
I promised Kendall's mother that I would always look out for you boys, and I'm looking out for you now, dears. Even though she still doesn't know how to pronounce my name. So, dear, I need to get back to Busheltown immediately, but I just want
to... Here, you come here, give me a hug.
Dear. Oh.
Yeah.
I want to hug, too. Oh, dear. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn. Have a wonderful trip back to Busheltown. Oh, always lovely, Cliff. That was such a great surprise. We haven't seen her in a while.
I love her.
She's always so busy in Busheltown with her charities.
About a month ago or so. Yeah. Been a while.
All right. Well, this whole episode has been nothing but sad.
It has been sad.
Never has the music been more adequate to the show, appropriate, rather. So If our listeners want to know more about us or our show or more about celebrity deaths, they can always go to
Cliff. And why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they?
Go to cliffandkendall.com, cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com, or give us a call on our fat line at 818-308-4FAT.
Kendall, it's a quote-filled quote-a-thon.
It is.
Here at the end of the show.
You want me to go first or you?
How many do you have and we'll decide?
I have three.
Oh, I have three as well. So anyway,
buckle in, listeners. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Buckle in. You thought at 40-something minutes, surely this show's about over.
Nope.
No.
Cliff,
wrong.
The hour of departure has arrived, and we go our ways. I to die and you to live. Which is better? Only God knows. And that was Socrates, and I have to agree with him.
Yep. And this was said by Hafiz, the poet, centuries ago. It said, if you think that the truth can be known from words, if you think that the sun and the ocean can pass through that tiny opening called the mouth, oh, someone should start laughing. Someone should start wildly laughing now.
That's what I always say to our listeners. Someone should start laughing now.
We say it, they're like, but nothing's funny. But we're like, but just laugh.
Just start laughing. No one knows whether death, which people fear to be the greatest evil, may not be the greatest good. And that was Plato.
Yeah. Amen, Plato. I was looking for Are You Talking to Me's, that the writers, you know, they give us a bunch for us to pick from. And I found a few that I thought were so appropriate for the day that I put them here at the end.
Oh, that was Cliff on Cliff and Kendall Coast.
That was the Cliff and Kendall movie.
Oh, my God. At least you waited until minute 42.
Butter churn is already
she's
on.
Making a U-turn. She's making a U-turn.
To airport. Kendall, funny how gentle people get with you once you're dead. And that was from Sunset Boulevard.
Oh. Well, this quote, I also, when I was looking You Talking to Me, and this wasn't a movie quote, so I didn't include it, but it is someone that died, a celebrity, as I said, Steve Jobs. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice, and most importantly, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Kendall, we're both alive, and for all I know, that's what hope is. And that was from The Lion in Winter.
Oh, wonderful. Man, so many quotes.
So many quotes. It's a quote-filled quote-a-thon. It's a wonderful show full of fat people on the internet.
And it's a wonderful life, Cliff. Why don't you take us home down the take rivers of Jordan?
I'll be waiting. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. We'll see you here next week, God willing. We love you.
God willing, or we'll see you on that great show in the sky. Cliff and Kendall, cloud to cloud.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.